If you think that the rates, at the bare minimum, that a horse will have to reach, will have to be able to face a second call time of 46, let's just use this as an example. When we do PBS, and we're going to talk about how to get this number in a minute, what I call the fulcrum of the race, 46. When you consider PBS on a horse, you have to consider only two key things. The first is the pace of the race against which it ran. You know, they look like this, 46-2, 46, and the speed rating of the race. So in this example, this horse ran against a 45-3 and ran a final time of 80.
Can't see that back there. That's a racing form speed rating.
That's a racing form speed rating. And gosh, I know the purists, you know, the Toms of the world. Can you hear? Oh, good. Can you hear?
Nah.
Nah, good. You know, the Toms of the world say, ah, come on. Here's the example. And we're going to do these quickly. It's pretty simple. You have a horse that ran an 80 speed rating against a 45-3. You adjust this 80 speed rating 1 point for every fifth of a second that the pace of the race is faster or slower than the pace of the race you think will be the minimum that the horse will have to face today. So if you've decided that that fulcrum is going to be 46 today, and a horse ran 80 against a 45-3, its PBS is 82, because it's two-fifths of a second faster. This is the pace of the race, not the pace of the horse. We don't care how many lengths back it is. As a matter of fact, a horse that runs an 80 speed rating against a 45-3, when it's way back in the pack, are the kind of horses that the crowd overlooks race after race after race. It's the kind of race, the kind of horse that Jimmy can hail. He loves to see those horses because he knows that, 80 is 80. Similarly, this 82 was run against a 46-2, which is two-fifths slower than the 46. It becomes an 80. And finally, this 85 was run against a 46 pace race. It gets no change. It gets an 85. That's the basic concept of PBS. There are two adjustments that you need to make with PBS. The first adjustment is distance adjustments. And the way you make distance adjustments is very simple. You add or subtract 1 point for every half furlong the horse is stretching out or cutting back. Okay? So, for example, if this 45-3 and 80 speed rating was run in a 5.5 furlong race, and today's race is 6 furlongs, you would take this down 1 point, 82, becomes an 81. Let's say this example was run in a 6.5 furlong race, you'd give this horse 1 point credit, so it would become an 81, and even it out. That's the most important adjustment. The other kind of adjustment we'll talk about in a minute, of course, is cutting back from routes to sprints. Now, I've been asked over and over again, what kind of adjustments do you make for a sprinter stretching out to a route? There are umpteen ways to do this, three main ones, two of which are pretty complicated. Let me give you a very simple one. If you've got a sprinter who just ran an 80 speed rating in a sprint, and he's going to a mile and a 16th today, well, he's stretching out 2.5 furlongs, which are 5.5 furlongs. Just deduct 5 from his speed rating, period. 75, that's the sprinter's PBS number. That's why it's important to project a fulcrum for the race. People, when we first came up with PBS, said, oh, I could just use a constant. I'll use 46 for sprints, 112 for routes. That's close enough. No, it's not, because of the problem of horses stretching out or cutting back. You must do it. Also, setting a fulcrum for the race begins the wheels turning. Remember Howard said one of the ways of using the pluses and O's is to see how the horse fares when it faces the pace it must face today. Well, guess what? If you think a horse, if a horse is a world beater but only does so against 47 paces, and he's got a pace of 46 today, you probably don't want your money riding on it. That's an important point to know. Now, just on this and not on the details, because, you know, there's no way to talk about this in a vacuum. We're going to get down to a case. This is a race that I've never seen before, and I may never see again, because I don't know what my manual is. Okay. Is it? Ah, good. Hello. Good morning. This thing relates to it. But before we get to it, and we're going to go through the process of how to get a fulcrum and how to tell if a horse matches against it. Any questions on this basic thing? I just want to be very clear on the mechanics of PBS. Yes?
You just said it didn't make any difference, or it made a difference when you picked actually determining a fulcrum when you adjusted a sprinter to a route.
Yeah.
Now, if you got a horse that's an 80 going in a sprint going up to a mile of 16, don't you have to adjust him somehow to the pace of that race?
You would think so. For those of you who didn't hear the question is, would we really have to adjust a sprinter who ran against the fast pace to routers who ran against the slow pace? That's the intuitive answer to that question is yes. It's what the hypothesis was when we first started testing TDS. But what we found over about 2,500 races was that you got better results just by ignoring the pace of the race when a sprinter stretches out and just deducting however many points he was stretching out.
Your point was that it had something to do with the fulcrum.
Yeah, I'll tell you why. Because, okay, it's a good question. Well, not really. Let's say a horse just ran a 22:45 1:10. It's got an 80 speed rating. He's going to a mile of 16 today. His PBS is 75. Now you have router number one, who just ran against the 1:12 pace, and let's say he ran a 75. Well, if you use that constant fulcrum of 1:12, he gets a PBS of 75, tied with the router. If your fulcrum is 1:11, then he gets a 70, which is much worse than the router. If they have to run against 1:13 today, that router gets moved up to an 80, which means he's in better shape than the sprinter.
But the sprinter always ends up with the same.
The sprinter always ends up with the same. Now, Jimmy's got a technique, which he can, if you're really interested, get with him, of how to stretch out mechanically a sprinter to a route. I think it's a very dangerous technique for use. I think the computers do that for you. One thing I would caution you about is getting too hung up in the details of PBS, because it's a first set, it's a crude set, it's phase one, it's dark ages. Pretty good, but don't get too hung up with it. Yes?
I use this and I have the contender, I have the winner in my contenders, about 97%.
Oh, that's great, right? That's great to hear.
That's too much.
And you too, Joe?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, 90%+ contenders, that's great. That's what you're aiming for. Because the computer, you know, if you think about what it takes to pick 70% winners, the computer will get the winner when you've got the patient contender in there, maximum, you know, 80% of the time. Howard said 86, but let's say 80. Well, that means if you've got the contender in there only 80% of the time, your maximum is 64%, 80 times 80. But if you've got the contender in there 90% of the time, then you've got a potential of 70%, yes.
I've got a 92% of Pemmico, 90% of Laurel.
That's fantastic. Right, it's great. It's just great to hear. You know, it's unbelievable. Because we just spent a whole hour talking about track profiles and the engine and all the rest of it. And this very simple technique, you know, does it, yes.
It gets you a contender, but it doesn't win races.
That's exactly it. It gets you contenders, but it doesn't really win the races. What it will tell you, though, just like, you know, ATV, if you see a high ATV horse, go, you know, it gives you permission to go back. If you see a high PBS horse on a horse that you would ordinarily chuck out just by your eye, you know something's going on. The horse has got some potential that, you know, there's something going on with the horse. Yeah. Yes?
Especially in a maiden race, you will see a maiden special weight. I don't play maiden races, but I look at them.
Mm-hmm.
And the horse finished 16 lengths out.
Yeah.
His PBS is the highest in the race. He's running a maiden claimer for 6,500. He's almost a shoe-in.
Yes, that's right. Maiden PBS is just a great, great technique for maiden races. But don't take my word for it. Just try this over a few races.
Okay. Mike?
Yes. Questions on mechanics now. Yes.
Three out of 42 races, our last 42, we missed three.
Three out of 42. Well, you're just working a little harder on those races. Again, talk to a couple from Canada.
Mike, you've got the program at 46 for the 6 furlong race.
Yeah.
The horse I'm looking at, his last race, was at 7 furlong.
Okay.
Am I going to use the fulcrum, or am I going to simply take 2 points off? Whatever.
Just take 2 points off.
And that's all?
Yeah.
Just ignore the fulcrum unless it's the same thing.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. That's only for a sprinter stretching out to a route.
Okay.
In your example, let's say that your 7 furlong horse ran an 84 at 7 furlongs against a 46. Well, 46 and 1. Well, since he ran 1/5 slower, his 84 becomes an 83. But since he ran 2 half-furlongs longer, then you give him 2 points or an 85. Okay. Let's do an example, and then all these questions will come clear. Turn to page 12 in your hymnals.
Can we go through this slowly, please?
We'll do it very slowly. And if I go too fast, stop me. Because I'm a New Yorker. I talk fast. I walk fast.
Shoot fast.
What was that?
Shoot fast.
Shoot fast.
Shoot
fast. That's right. Okay, the CDS numbers are 58, 37, 4. Okay, any questions? First step is to set a fulcrum. What's the purpose of a fulcrum?
Reference.
Yeah, it's a reference point. It's the first rough cut you have of the race. You want to know, and let me advise you something on the fulcrum. This is not how to project the pace of the race. Jimmy will show you how to do that. They don't take bets on it. You don't need to be that accurate. What you want to find is the slowest second call time that you can reasonably consider the horse race to be running today. Remember Jimmy's point? A horse race is one horse goes out and the others catch it. Well, you want to find that second call time that one of the horses is going to go out at, and then see if the other horses can catch it. That's the purpose of the fulcrum. Now let me ask you this. If you want to keep 90% winners in, which fulcrum will keep more contenders in? A 44 second call or a 47 second call? 47, of course, because more horses can run against the 47. So I'm very, very strict and very, very conservative when I set a fulcrum. And I advise you to be as well. So here are my rules. Yeah, these are rules for setting a fulcrum. It's a mechanical process. Here's what I want. I want a horse who ran the fastest second call time in his last race, which was 1, not atypical, and 2, not in a race where the horse was very far off the pace. We're going to get to the details of this in a minute. But
just repeat that one more time.
Yeah, sure will. Setting the fulcrum, I want the horse who in his last race, there's a caveat, last race, not off a layoff, please. Who in his last recent race has run the fastest second call time in the race. That's the first step. Fastest second call in the last race.
On the lead.
No, we'll get to that in a minute. The fastest second call time, that's step number one. Let me write this down so you can see it. Fulcrum. Fastest second call. I'm sorry for those of you who can't see that the black just pumped out. Last race, which was not atypical for the horse. And where the horse was close to the pace.
Fast track and average.
That's taken into atypical. Stay with me. We'll go through that. Okay. Now, there's a reason for each of these steps. Gary, your question about the fastest second call time, for this step of TBS, we use the beaten lane. And we use it in a very crude one-fifth for every lane. I know it's not accurate, but for this purpose, we use it. For example, if a horse ran a 45 against a 45 and was two lengths back at the second call, we make that second call time a 45-2. Okay. So we want the fastest. We want the last race because we want to be conservative. Now, Jimmy will go back and see that a horse ran a 44-4 four races ago, and he'll say, well, you could probably do that again today. I don't want to do that. I'd rather take a slower time. The reason we want a race that wasn't atypical for the horse, because sometimes, and for those of you who are at the Monmouth track side, you get a horse like a Deputy Shaw, who throws down a 43-4 second call once in a while, when he feels like it. Certainly not a typical race for the horse. It's a one-time thing. You don't want to take that because you throw out too many horses. And you want it where it's close up to the pace. There's no rule for this. You know, but if you shouldn't be more than five lengths back out of the second call of the finish. Okay. Shouldn't be. You don't want a horse who ran, you know, six lengths back of a 44, and you make that a 45-1. You don't want to set your race up from that. It's just not accurate. It's just not accurate enough. Okay. With this in mind, let's find a fulcrum horse and a fulcrum pace in this third race of single length, which was run sometime this summer. What I'd like you to do, now it shouldn't take too long for this, in the next 90 seconds, what I would like you to do is find a fulcrum horse. I want the name of the horse and the pace. And then I'm going to ask, we'll go around, we'll write the pace that you selected, and then we'll have four or five horses, and we'll talk about which of the ones that are proper to select. So take about a minute and a half now, and just do that for yourself.
Quick question. Must it be the distance of today's race?
It should be a sprint if it's a sprint and a route if it's a route. No. Not the exact distance, though. It could be a half or a long off, in other words. Okay, so start now. Time is up, put down your pens. Okay. Someone suggest, please, the name of the fulcrum horse and the pace. Yeah, in the back.
Azel B.
47-2. Anyone else have either a different horse or a different pace, sir?
Maria Domenica.
Maria Domenica at 46-2. Yeah, no. Not for mispronunciation. Any other horse or any other pace? Yes.
Stay out of the wind?
There's a good one. Yes. And what was the pace be? What was the Bookerman?
About 46-4.
Where's Dan around? Oh, Dan's not here. About 46-4? Yeah, we got to be specific. 46-4? Okay. Yes.
Bella DeMont.
Ballet, okay, and
46-2.
46-2, okay.
The second one's off
the top. We're not getting this analysis yet. I just want to get everything up with all the possibilities. This is great because all of the mistakes that come, mistakes is very judgmental, isn't it? All of the variances of approaches come out when you do this.
Right.
Anyone else? Well, it's going to pass, so, okay. Let's start from the bottom up. Let's look at Val de March. Val de Match.
There's a race on July 4th.
There's a race on July 4th.
6 furlongs. The last one is 5.5, so I don't know.
Okay. The first thing about getting a fulcrum horse is it comes from the last race. Am I fanatically strict about it? Absolutely yes. It must be the last race. Underlined 3 times. Thank you. Californian market. Thank you very much. Oh, look, avocado green. Last race. Last race, okay? So, yes, I agree with you. Val de Match would be at the July 4th race for the last race. Stay recent, so we'll do that. Now, with the creative, this is very creative. I appreciate this call. No, I mean that, to stay out of the wind. Yeah. Took it from the last race, didn't you? Did, is that where you got it from? 46-4?
From the sprint.
Well, you went third back.
You said last race.
Third back, yeah, okay. Thank you for playing. We used to do this with a little stun gun, too. It was a lot more fun. Yeah, the PCA got after us. We took a little doggy up here, and every time we got one of these dogs, we'd stun him. Maria Domenica, here's a real easy one. 7 months ago. It wasn't recent. That's an easy trap to fall into. Guess what? When I did this just out in the hall, that's what I said. It's a poker. And then, you know, it had to be Schmidt, right, to point out.
Mikey, I ran 7 months ago.
Look up, Ryan.
Excuse me.
Oh, I thought you were out of the room, Richard. Sorry, yes. Okay. Which leaves us with Hazel D. Yeah, this is the one. This is the one. Now, let's see. Was it from the last race? Yeah. It's the fastest we've got. Yeah.
On the slow track.
Yeah, but it's the fastest in the race, isn't it? I mean, there isn't a faster one that meets all those criteria, is there? Yeah.
Michael, what about the internal fractions on Seymour's Simonis?
Yeah, that's another call you could make. You could take the internal fractions on Seymour's Simonis. I find them to be very unreliable, though. Very unreliable. If you made that, for example, a 47, would you say that a 47 is a typical, you know, because you deduct 2/5 of a second, don't you?
Yeah.
Off the internal. Would you say that 47 is a typical second call on a sprint for this horse, or atypical for the horse?
Atypical.
Yeah, well, it's certainly, at the very least, it's not typical. Okay? You probably lean toward atypical. I'd rather slow it down a little bit. I'd rather have the match up to a 47-2. Okay? So that's our fulcrum, and that's how you get a 47-2. Why do we spend so much time on it? Every day, there is one race in the Eastern Edition, ask me how I know this, where no one can catch the fulcrum horse. Every day, if that's not the situation, there's only one horse that has a possibility. Do this for yourself in your track. Does anyone here handicap Belmont regularly and remember a horse called Levitation?
Yeah.
Now here's a horse, I got so many calls when this horse won. This horse had a 70% median. Belmont was running in the 68. Why did it win that day? It was the fulcrum horse and a 45-4. No horse in that race had ever, in any of its 10 races, ever run well against a pace faster than a 46-3. That horse won as it pleased in pace 1360. This alone will uncover for you amazing horses. Amazing because they pay anything more than 210. Don't take my word for it. Check it for yourself. When you do your pluses and O's, note where the pluses come from. If all the pluses in this race came from 48 and change, this is Finger Lakes, remember. These are barely horses. You know, on the other hand, a horse that had consistently plus races against 46 would be a very definite threat. So that's the first step, is getting an accurate fulcrum. And you can go down, what I used to do when I was developing this, is I would draw circles around the actual pace of the race and the horse's past performance, where the pace of the race was within, 2/5, up or down, from that 47-2. So anything between a 47 and a 47-4. You want to get more, we'll cut it down, 47-1 to 47-3. In that range, how does the horse do you? How does it finish? Because we now know it's going to have to run against that, at least today. How does it finish when it faces that? You'll be surprised how often this will get you down to the, 3 or 4 true contenders in the race.
This is
a very crude matchup. Yeah. What, we use these terms so interchangeably. The matchup as developed by Jim, and the way Jim will teach you to do the matchup, he'll have the actual pace of the race nailed. And he'll get into a little more detail on why it should be that way. I don't think you should spend that much time on the matchup. That's why you have the computer. Those of you who had disastrous results with third fraction, it's because you tried to just use the third fraction without factoring in deceleration. See, that's all built into the program. You know, when you get a number out of a program, it's based on algorithms which take that deceleration into account by different values for a beaten length, for example, for one. Okay, what do we do with this 4072? Well, let's get down to cases. Let's take a look at counters JL. Since I don't use PBS as a way to get winners, but just to get an idea of the form of the horde, I like to stay pretty recent. Now, don't get ridiculous about it. You know, stay with the last line unless there's a real good excuse for not. For example, if that last line was the first race after a layoff, and that first race after a layoff showed some sign of life, maybe you take a second bet. Or there was a different surface. For example, if the track was very off that day, or it's a turf race. Or if it's a different structure, it's a route, today's race is a sprint, or vice versa. And there's a nice, you know, if it's a sprint race and the top race is a route, there's a nice sprint right under it, well, sure, go ahead and take that sprint race. Or if the horse encounters serious trouble. There's a nice little acronym you can use if you like these kind of things. The misspelling will help you remember last. You know, unless there's a layoff, there's a difference in the surface, structure of the race. Or there's a trouble line. Okay. Those are the reasons to go back on a PBS line. Don't get rule oriented about this. What with about changing my name and selling this as a system? Okay. Let's look at counters JL. Okay. You can write up at the top that that fulcrum time is a 47.2. Counters JL ran a speed rating of 74, and the pace of the race against which it ran was 47.2. So its PBS number would be 74 minus 1, because it ran 5.5 furlongs. And today it's 6. We're going to match it all up to 6. So its PBS number is 73. Those of you may ask, would you go one back on it? Well, not really, because one back is a 72 against a 47.1. That makes it a 73. Deduct 1 for 5.5 furlongs, it's a 72. So its top race is a little better. Don't penalize all. So there you go, counters JL, 73. Mascara Mist. Oh, yeah, okay. Next. Let's do it for practice, okay? A 66 against a 47.1 becomes a 67. Minus 1 is a 66. Seymour Simone. Here's the first tricky one. Look, there's an easy way to do this. Go one back on the horse. Okay? And if you go one back, his TBS number is a 70. A 71 against a 47.3. But you've got to deal with that top race, don't you? Because those internal fractions in this field are pretty good. So how do you make a TBS number when you got internal fractions? Here's how you do it. The first thing to do is to convert that route race into a sprint race. Okay? So, you do this. Does anyone not know how to do this conversion? Show of hands. Good. So we'll do it pretty quickly because almost everyone knows and we don't take up the time. If you have trouble doing this, we'll see you after. That 47.2 becomes a 47. The 113 becomes a 112.4. And we would convert its beaten lengths to 0 1/2. Okay. That's, those of you who are not familiar with the technique, that's just how it's done. And we'll give you the whys and wherefores later, but that's what it would be. first job is to create a speed rating for this horse. Now, this is a case where it doesn't work. The distance adjustment doesn't work. You can't just add 5 points to the router in this case. It just doesn't get you home. What you need to do is to see what would his final time be in terms of speed rating. Well, let's make that a 113. Can anyone tell me what speed rating a horse would earn if he ran a 113